This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Welcome, Father Hunter. This is Gordon Smith, and this is the Sons of Melchizedek program. I'm interviewing Father Douglas Hunter today at St. Rock on the south side of Indianapolis, near Southside. Welcome, Father.
Thank you so much.
Today is a nice spring day in the fall, and I came here one other time to Father Hunter's, and I found that he wasn't here. And it's because we want to find out where you were, Father. I think you were somewhere down around St. Meinrad.
Yes, I was on retreat that week.
Priests need to have retreats as well, right?
Amen.
This show is about vocations, and the Sons of Melchizedek program in general interviews priests to find out how and why they made the decision to become a priest. So, Father Hunter, you have been a priest for how long now?
6 years, just over 6 year mark.
And give me a little bit about the story about how you came to become a priest.
For me, it was a very unique story, being a former police officer here in the city of Indianapolis. One where I had a very nice house and several cars and a couple of businesses, in addition to being a police officer. Although I had all that, I was never happy. I was dating someone at the time, but I was never happy with all that I had, that I had accumulated, all that stuff. And God kept reaching out to me and saying, I want you to be a priest. And I kept saying no, because I'd have to go back to school. And I didn't want to do that because I was making good money and I was traveling all the time and doing very beautiful things, but it never really fruitioned to anything that would say, hey, stay where you are. And God kept asking me and calling me, and I kept resisting him the whole time. And this started about 2005 when I had to go back to school. I went back at Marion University, and I did their evening classes when they had the adult program in person.
You mean when you made the decision to become a priest? But before that, you were pushing back?
Well, first I had to go back to school.
Okay.
And get my undergrad.
I see.
And that started that was from 2005 to 2009. And from that, it was a lot of resisting, a lot of temptation, a lot of, I don't want to do this because I want to do 20 other things that I wanted to do.
Okay. And so you had been on the police force. Were you a standard blue uniform type police officer?
Yes. So I started with Marion County Sheriff's Department in January of 2000. And then from 2007, we merged into the what's now the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department.
Okay.
But during that time, I would work at Perry Meridian High School as a school resource officer during the day, because everything I did on the sheriff's department was at night most of the time, because I was in crime prevention and youth education. So most of my programming didn't start till after 5.
I see. And so the youth had a good advocate in you, and you were able to help them out. Where this was at Perry Meridian, you said?
Yes.
Did you see a lot of crime at the high school level?
Not so much in the high school level, but it kind of spilled over into the high school. Things that they dealt with at home, they would bring to school with them. And we were there to help combat some of that and try to ease the transition into the school life and help them academically or sometimes criminally, because I've gone to court for kids before. And being an advocate for the child, whether it's in the classroom, on the sports field, in the courtroom, or at home, because sometimes home can be a battleground for these kids.
Surely.
Yeah.
So you got to see some good things, but probably a lot of bad things as well.
Correct.
Things that were alarming. And did that have some factor in kind of urging you to go into a different field at the time?
Not really. It was just God calling me to something greater. And I didn't realize all that I did in the 7-year period at Perimeridian and ministering to the youth in the way I did. And also, not only did I minister to them, I was in charge of our cadet program on the police department, where I had 52 other high schoolers who I would see on a week-to-week basis who were inspiring them to get into law enforcement. And they wore uniforms and everything. They just didn't have any of the toys that we had as like far as gun, pepper spray, and tasers and all that. But you would see them at like the 500 race, the Marion County Fair, and different things. But with those 52, they were the closest to me. But they still had issues at home that they had to deal with sometimes.
Sure. And you were a speaker at Catholic Radio Indy's golf outing this last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have a memory of that evening. You did a very nice speech about some of these same things we're talking about today. And that same night, as you were speaking, I think there was a school shooting down in Texas.
Yes,
it was horrible.
Uvalde, Texas.
Right. So being a school resource officer has a lot of value to
yes.
high schools and the public schools around here. So thank you for your service doing that. Okay, so we were talking about where you got inspiration to become a priest. You went back to undergrad, finished that up, and I cut you off there, so continue.
It kind of goes back even further. So basically, it all started in fourth grade, and it was the late Sister Marie Wolfe, who asked me if I wanted to serve Mass one Sunday morning at St. Joan of Arc. And that's where I looked at my mom, and she's like, yeah, you can do what you want. I actually go just do it. And while doing that, it taught me a lot. It was Father Murphy at the time who was the pastor of St. Joan of Arc.
Father Thomas Murphy.
Yes.
I knew Father Thomas
yes.
Murphy.
And he showed me how to serve and the way he wanted me to serve. And from there, I've served under a lot of good people who have shown me the way. I served under a lot of good people, a lot of good priests who inspired me to pursue priestly ministry.
Okay, so you did mention earlier that you fought this off a little bit, so mm-hmm. that's where I want to delve into a little bit.
Okay.
Because we're talking to folks out there that might have a son themselves that has a possibility of becoming a priest, and I want everyone to understand that it's not a slam dunk always.
No, it's not.
So what was your process then, Father?
Giving in to God. It was a long, tedious process, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It was giving up of myself to serve Him and doing His will and not my own. And I think of the words of the Magnificat where our Blessed Mother says, "May it be done unto me according to thy word." And those are the words that resonate within my mind and in my heart when I look at my own vocation story, doing God's will and not my own. Because if I did my own will, I'd be very unhappy, I think, at this point.
It's thy word, not my word,
yes,
right?
Correct.
We have to trust in God's providence in all things.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been a priest now since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You've been assigned to several parishes. We're at St. Rock on the near south side of Indy right now. But where else have you been, Father?
I've been at St. Pius on the north side of Indianapolis. And from there, I went to St. Malachy on the west side of Indianapolis.
And how did you find those assignments? Were those same types of people that are down here or different?
There's always a little difference in each parish you go to, but they were very wonderful people in both parishes.
St. Malachy is just a extremely fast-growing, big suburban parish, so it's probably about the opposite of St. Pius, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been at St. Rock?
I've been at St. Rock going on 5 years.
Oh, thank you for your service there, and thank you for your priestly vocation. What are things that some of your parishioners that will ultimately hear this broadcast, what can they do to help you out down here at St. Rock?
Always, always, always pray for your parish priest.
Always.
Yes.
Well, we do pray for you, mm-hmm. Father, and we started with a prayer on this program, and we pray every day for our priests because we're so appreciative of you bringing us the miracle every single day in what you do. So, Father, what are some observations you want to make and some of the things that you do besides being a priest For example, what are some of your hobbies?
When time permits, I like to ride my bike around the downtown area. And sometimes I go on the north side to the Monon Trail, where it's a little safer to ride my bike.
Mm-hmm. And what else do you do? Do you travel?
I love to travel. When I make sure I take my time off and go see my friends, sometimes out west in Las Vegas, Nevada. There's a lot to see and do out there.
Well, are you not going to Las Vegas this weekend?
Why, yes, I am.
I'm going. And how would that? How would you be going? Don't you have to serve mass, Father?
I do, but I have. This is my first away trip with the Indianapolis Colts.
The Colts.
Yes.
So, what is? Tell me about the Colts. What do you do for the Colts?
I am the Catholic chaplain for the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, thank you. And this will be a game this weekend, away game with a new coach.
Yes, Jeff Saturday.
Yes. What do you do in that job? Because, I mean, these are big football NFL guys that, you know, they're pretty tough. I don't think they need much help, do they?
They need as much spiritual help as we do.
Really? They put their trousers on one leg at a time, just like you and me, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Father. What do you do? How do you help the Colts out or any football player that you happen to run into?
Well, they go through things just the same as we do. You know, they do amazing things on the field and off the field. But ultimately, they're just people, you know, disciples of Christ, just like you and myself.
And with they're married, they have kids, they have all the same types of issues that anyone would have. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, sir.
Father, what is your education? Tell me a little bit. Told me before we started the program that you grew up in Indianapolis and went to Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you got the initial calling with Father Murphy to become a server. But what did you go and do after that?
So I went to St. Joan of Arc grade school, grades 1 through 4, and St. Andrew's grades 5 and 6 on the east side of Indianapolis. Later going to Ritter Junior High and Ritter High School, where I was able to serve under Monsignor Schadel, who was my teacher in high school.
Well, we've already interviewed Monsignor Schadel for this program, so I'm sure he has fond memories.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to become a priest, though, you went to Marion?
I did all my undergrad at Marion University.
And then where did you go to seminary?
St. Minerit.
How many years did you spend at St. Minerit?
7 years total. 2 for philosophy and pastoral year, and 4 for Masters of Divinity.
Okay, explain some of your time at St. Minerit. How did that work out?
When you come in with I came in with a Bachelor's of Business, and so didn't fulfill all the philosophy credits that were needed to come into seminary, so I had to do 2 years in the philosophy program and got a Master's in Philosophy. Later on, taking some time off when my mom was sick, and she died that year that I was off from seminary, and then finishing my time with the Masters of Divinity.
I see. Mm-hmm. St. Meinrad's a wonderful place, very quiet. I'm sure everyone felt very safe having an ex-police officer on campus with them.
Yes.
We'll be right back. I'm Gordon Smith, and we're interviewing Father Douglas Hunter today and the Sons of Melchizedek program.
An interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. And at the same time, I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back. This is Gordon Smith, and you're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek program. I'm interviewing Father Douglas Hunter today at St. Rock at his parish where he's assigned to right now. He's been here for how many years? Five?
5 years.
Well, I'm sure everybody down at St. Rock is really happy to see you and have you here as their priest. Tell us a little bit about what parents should do or not do if they have a son that they feel might have a vocation.
I always say to parents to strongly encourage, but do not push them towards the priesthood. Because I see some parents who push their child towards the priesthood instead of encouraging them to expose them to it, but don't impose it upon them.
So the baseball bat does not work in that way?
No.
Douglas Sr., your father, and Hattie, Were they encouraging, or tell me about what kind of encouragement you got from them or didn't get?
I got a lot of encouragement from them, and I can remember going to church every Sunday with my mom because she used to set up at St. Joan of Arc before the Mass. She was the sacristan.
Oh, yeah.
So we always had to go to 8:30 Mass, and I didn't want to go to church at 8:30.
That's so early.
I always wanted to go to 10:30, but we had to go to 8:30, and I helped her unlock the doors and set everything up and see the priest when he first arrived into the sacristy. So she was always encouraging me to, have you ever thought about being a priest, or do you think you should be a priest, or have you talked to the priest about being a priest? So she was always encouraging. And my dad was pretty much the same way, but he went to Holy Angels at the time. And he always worked around the church to help out and fixing things and setting things up. And he showed me how to swing a hammer and turn a screwdriver and many different things around the church.
Skills we need all the time.
So I grew up around Joan of Arc and Holy Angels most of my life, so I'm pretty familiar with what goes on in the church.
And Joan of Arc in particular is a very beautiful church. They have that mosaic on the altar. It's just very inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about which sacrament you enjoy conferring the most, Father.
My favorite sacrament is the sacrament of confession, and it's not so much about what people say to me in their confession. It's about the grace that is bestowed upon them at the end of them pouring out their heart to the Lord.
And that is when you act in persona Christi.
Mm-hmm.
So you are a direct pipeline from the person's sinful behavior up mm-hmm. directly to Jesus.
Correct.
And Jesus, of course, can wipe away all those sins.
Mm-hmm.
What are, did you have any surprises when you became a priest, some things that you weren't expecting?
Not really, because a lot I was already exposed to through law enforcement, so not much surprises me.
Not much you hadn't seen.
Correct.
I got that.
Mm-hmm.
You were dating a young lady, you said at the time, when you were a police officer,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that some people don't understand or don't think about is that a priest has ordinary feelings just like any other man, and if they didn't date women, there might be something wrong with them. So
right.
You did that, but you made the better choice.
I think I did.
So what is the, we were talking about sin too, and confession,
mm-hmm.
The sacrament of reconciliation. Another misconception that some folks have is that priests are perfect and they never sin.
By no means.
So you go to confession too, right?
Yes. So anytime I see a priest that is available, I just grab him and ask him if he can do my confession, whether it's here or away. I like going to confession more when I'm away somewhere.
Sure. Sure, I get that. We lay people do the same thing. In a couple of years, in 2024, we are going to have a very, very special event in Indianapolis mm-hmm. called the Eucharistic Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot known about it yet. We don't know what all the details are, but I know that there's going to be bishops, archbishops, cardinals of all stripes from all over the United States come to Indianapolis. It's going to be a very big event. And the important thing, I think, to remember is that it is all about the Eucharist, mm-hmm. and it's about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. You want to talk about that a little bit and how it impacts your priesthood?
Not so much about the Eucharistic Revival, but about Eucharistic Adoration in itself.
Sure.
And when I first got here to St. Rock, we had no Eucharistic Adoration.
Did not.
No. So every Tuesday from 5 to 9, I just want people to have a quiet place to go sit in the presence of Jesus. And, you know, because we all live in this chaotic world, and there's always this noise going on around us, but it's the one place where I can offer to them the body of our Lord in the presence of quietness and stillness.
And do you have a special chapel for that, or do you do it in the main church?
We do it in the main church.
So that's great that you do that. That's very, very admirable, and I'm sure your parishioners love that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do the full
benediction
afterwards, or
no? Because it's 9 o'clock at night, and there's usually about 10 people and myself, and I just reverently put Jesus away.
Okay. I'm going to go back in time to when you were at St. Meinrad. You grew up around Indianapolis. You went to several schools around here. Mm-hmm. And then you went down to St. Meinrad, a totally different atmosphere down there. How did you find your time at St. Meinrad? Did you enjoy it?
Overall, I enjoyed it. Now, when I first got there, that was very hectic for me because I came from a very fast-paced lifestyle, being a police officer, where I had 2 cell phones and 3 pagers and 2 police radios and computers, and everything was always ringing and dinging nonstop. But when I got to Meinrad, it was that stillness where I struggled because I'm so used to all the chaotic lifestyle that I lived through that all I had to do was just rest in the peace of our Lord.
The ringing and dinging was off of the church bells down there. It was a little different than you were used to.
Correct.
So the time you spent at St. Meinrad, 6 years, and I was trying to also elicit out of you the fact that it's a totally different rural lifestyle. I think they have a Dollar General outside campus now, but that was a recent addition.
Correct.
What are things that your parishioners here can do to help you, besides pray for the priests, that you would like to see them do more of?
They're stepping up to the plate slowly. It was different coming from one pastor to another. And they're still, learning about me, and I'm still learning about them, and they're still trying to figure out what makes me tick. And I have to remember to slow down and speak softly, because sometimes I have that police talk when I talk to people, and I have to remember I don't have to be the cop anymore. But it was so ingrained in me in a 12-year period.
Yes, sir. Hard. No, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
You want to see my license, sir?
Not anymore. So I try to speak with compassion and just ask them to be patient with me, as they have been. And it's each year it breaks down even more.
Sure.
And it's hard when you come from a military family going right into law enforcement and then going right into priestly ministry.
I can imagine. You still have friends in the force?
I do.
Any of them parishioners down here?
Yes, they are.
Cool.
Yes, they are. And I'm a chaplain for Southport Police Department. I help out a great deal.
To this day?
Yes. It's my way of giving back to those who still serve.
Well, thank you for, I got to thank you in 100 ways, because thank you for your vocation to become a priest. Thank you for your service in the police force. My own son-in-law is a police officer in New York City, and I worry about him all the time. But I'm so grateful that there are people that rise to that occasion and do that job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell me about all your brothers and sisters that you grew up with?
I don't have any. I'm an only child. Yes.
An only child.
Yes.
So you didn't have anybody to pick on or to pick on you, and you found your way anyway into the priesthood.
I have a lot of cousins.
Oh, good deal there. Okay, Father, can you say a little prayer for us, for a listening audience? And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but anything you comes to mind, I would like you to pray for all of us right now, okay, if you wouldn't mind.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious God, we ask your blessing to be upon us both now and forever. We ask that our hearts and minds are open to doing your will and to serving you, to glorifying you both now and forever. We ask that your holy angels watch over us and protect us and keep us safe from all harm. And we ask that our blessed mother wrap us in the mantle of her loving arms. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. If a child expresses an interest in a vocation, maybe a child of one of our listeners right now, mm-hmm, what's the next step that a parent should do to help encourage that once they figure that out?
Contact one of our vocation directors in beautiful city of here, or in the beautiful archdiocese that we have here.
Right.
And there's different ones. Well, first talk to your parish priest, and he'll guide you to one of those vocation directors. And from there, they will lead you to the different programs and formats that they have to help foster that vocation, that possible vocation.
So would you recommend maybe a vocation retreat weekend or something like that as well?
Always. There's many different things that take place around the archdiocese, and I participated in those along the way on my journey that helped lead me to where I am today.
Now, I want to go back to another thing. Things that you said earlier in the interview are coming back to me now. Your first experience was a server, and your mom encouraged it when you were in grade school, serving at Joan of Arc. Mm-hmm. But then much later, you had your career, mm-hmm. and you saw a lot that you probably I don't ever want to see. Mm-hmm. But you weren't satisfied in life, and something came to you. Tell us about the moment when that happened, and I think you said you even had some pushback yourself with that moment.
So I always went to Eucharistic Adoration every Wednesday. It was just kind of like my day to go, and that was the least busy day of my life through the week. And sometimes I would go right after work, or sometimes I would leave work and go to Adoration, and I would always go to daily Mass somewhere, wherever I was, or nearby. And people that know me knew who I was then, even though I was in uniform, going to daily Mass. And when Father Noah Casey was alive, he was down at St. John's, and I used to go to evening prayer down there when they had evening prayer. It was always available each day, and I would go whenever I could, and I would see a lot of people from there. So I was always running to God in many different ways, but there was still that resistance of giving up all that I had accumulated and following His path and not my own.
It's hard for a rich man to enter heaven. I think I've heard that somewhere before.
Yes.
And speaking of Bible verses, what is your favorite Bible verse or story?
Matthew 25. I was hungry and you fed me, naked and you clothed me, infirmed and you visited, in prison and you visited, and so on.
That's excellent. You have a favorite saint, Father?
Saint Gregory the Great.
Now, why Saint Gregory the Great?
I don't know, because I remember a spiritual director telling me one time, I said, why do people keep calling me Gregory? For some reason, it was in grade school, high school, and different things. And spiritual director said one time, well, sometimes the saints choose you. And I'm like, oh, okay.
True.
And to this day, some people just call me Greg. And I'm like, huh? Okay, I'll go with it.
And maybe someday they'll call you the Great.
Oh, I doubt that.
We've been interviewing Father Douglas Hunter today and the Sons of Melchizedek program. I want to thank you for your vocation, Father. I want to thank you for your time that you spend with your parishioners and passing along the Word of God to us. Thank you for that. We couldn't do it without you. You do the miracle every single day on the altar, and we're so appreciative of that, Father. So today, Father Hunter is at St. Rock on the south side of Indianapolis, and I want to thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Thanks for interviewing me.
God bless you.
You too.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.